I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The best things happen after dark. Nightclubs are the ultimate spaces for self-expression, escape, music, socializing, and forgetting for a moment the outside world. Going out is a way to discover ourselves, who we really are, what we really like. We find new friends and fall in love on the dance floor. As humans, we like to move to a beat, and there's nothing like a good night out. I'm Jody Harsh. I'm a DJ and producer, and I've spent most of my life going out. I know how to tear up a dance floor, and in this podcast, I chat with my guests about how club culture and going out has helped shape their identities and inform their work. In season one, we were locked down, unable to partake in nocturnal activities, so we could only talk about our memories of nightlife. Now we're back out there, and I've got a truly amazing guest list for season two. So let's dive into those hazy memory banks and hit the floor. This is Life of the Party. In the British DJ world, it doesn't get much bigger than today's guest. And now he's taking over the world. 5 Brit nominations, 4 platinum records, and a lot of late nights. This guy is very qualified to talk about partying. It's Joel Corey.
Thank you for the introduction.
Oh, you're welcome. How's it going? You good?
Yeah, really good, thanks. Just got back from Vegas, actually.
I saw on your Instagram that looked pretty major.
Had the best time.
We're going to talk about Vegas in a bit. Let's take it right back to the very beginning. Mm-hmm. What's your earliest memory of partying?
Earliest memory of partying? Well, probably going to my year 6 school disco.
Right. Were you DJing at that?
I wasn't, because I was only...
But you were on the guest list.
Yeah, I was on the guest list. But I started DJing, though, like when I was about 14. Yeah. And I remember going to, like, you know, the under 18 events. There's this club called Eros in North London, in Enfield, where I used to go to. And it turned into like a pulling contest, really. It was like, who could kiss the most girls in one night?
Right. Was it you?
I did all right.
Okay. Is that club still there? Have you been back since? Finished. Oh, you can't get a gig there now. did you ever get to DJ there?
Do you know what? I eventually did actually get a gig there. Again, it was like DJing at those sort of... I used to play garage a lot. And they used to have these like sort of under 18 garage nights where we'd have a few MCs on there. And they'd give a few like chances to the younger DJs to play a few sets.
Like a competition type.
Yeah. And I did a few of those sort of things. And they were like my first like initial ever club gigs.
Yeah.
And I was always so nervous about playing them.
Yeah. What's your dream club to visit or DJ or whatever, maybe from the past? Like mine would be Studio 54, for example.
Oh, okay. I remember my first time I went to Ibiza, I went to Space in Ibiza, and that was my first like real big Ibiza experience. Yeah. And obviously Space is shut now, but that club will always like hold a special place in my heart.
I think they're reopening somewhere else though.
I heard that as well. Yeah. I mean, and obviously High took over from Space.
Beautiful club.
Yeah, it's a great club. Yeah.
I think Space's appeal though was it was a little bit gritty.
I just loved it, you know, and I remember I saw Carl Cox like, at the Revolution night on a Tuesday. And just a really magical night, and definitely one that like I always remember. And also, do you know what? Actually, Sankey's and Ibiza.
Sankey's.
That was my favorite. I used to go to Viva Warriors on a Sunday. You know when I used to go to Ibiza with the boys, right? I always made Sunday the first day of the holiday.
Right.
Because I'd always like want to have my first night at Viva Warriors at Sankey's.
So you'd fly out and land on the Sunday.
Yep. So that was the first night.
Drop your cases off at the hotel.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken a suitcase to a club?
Oh God, many times. as the DJ life,
as the
though,
DJ,
right? Yeah, many times. I've got change literally in the car, in the car park, gone and done a gig, and then straight to the airport, whatever. Yeah.
Of course. How many gigs have you done in one night? What's the most?
Ooh, I reckon it's got to be 4. Yeah, I think I've done 4.
In different towns?
Maybe like a New Year's Eve where you did like an early set, the midnight set, the like... later set than the later after party set, like
bombing it down the M1
I've
to the rave.
They were good times though, man. I remember like going up and down with my mates sometimes around the country, just doing sets here, there and everywhere. That's the time I was really just trying to get my name out there.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and on the hustle.
I'll take any gig.
Yeah.
I'll play for free, man.
Yeah.
Like, I was just doing anything I could to play in any club, to get my name on any flyer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Back in those days, yeah, multiple gigs in one night.
Yeah. What was your first ever DJ set like?
First ever DJ set in front of a crowd. It would be probably one of those under 18 gigs that I just mentioned. I remember back then as well, I was playing on vinyl.
Yeah.
It was back in the garage days.
Right.
So it would be like the preparation for a night. You know, you'd have your big vinyl case, and I remember I used to like plan the set so I'd line up the vinyls in order of when I was playing them.
Right.
So the first vinyl at the front, so it was all like structured.
Right, right.
And I just wanted to like get every mix right.
So you practice at home loads.
I practiced the set over and over in my bedroom, like this exact point I'm going to mix.
And vinyl's hard.
Vinyl's hard.
Yeah, it's like.
And like, I was DJing on belt drives as well, because
you had
belt drive and direct drive.
Yeah.
And the belt drives are even harder. But you know what? It was so good that I learned how to mix back then that way.
Yeah.
Because
it's really good training.
Yeah, really good training. And yeah, difficult as well. Like the technique to learn on belt drives was hard. So yeah, they were my first gigs, though, probably playing those under 18 garage raves. And you know, I used to play like, you know, the school discos and bar mitzvahs and weddings and auntie's 50th birthday. Yeah. I did them all.
You've always been the DJ. Were you nervous before DJ sets back in the day?
Yeah, I used to get nervous, especially in those like sort of club environments.
Yeah.
But doing it over and over and over again, that all went away. And now I never feel any nerves.
Even like a massive headline show?
Absolutely not. Do you know what it is? Because I always feel so prepared.
Yeah.
And I just think years and years of doing it, I've got over that. And now it's just like excitement and energy.
Yeah.
It's not like nerves. It's not like crippling
still
nerves.
You get that like in your stomach, that like, but if buzzy
I like that.
Yeah.
If I get butterflies, it's because I know I'm doing something big.
And it's adrenaline.
It's adrenaline. Yeah, so it's just about how you channel that energy. And I always channel it into like, it makes me like ready, set, go. And it's not like crippling me.
Pumped up.
Yeah, it makes me pumped, man.
Yeah. Do you used to get into clubs with fake ID and stuff? When did you start going out clubbing?
Yeah.
We all did, right?
We all did. Yeah. I had an older brother.
Yeah.
So I used to go with Sam Corey to the club a lot.
Okay.
And I actually, when I went to uni, it's a funny story for you. I did a study abroad program in Miami.
Okay.
So for my second year of uni, I went to Miami.
That's kind of a lit way of studying.
It was sick. Yeah. It was like, it was a great time in my life as well, because I went away on my own to the other side of the world and just had to settle into a whole new place.
Yeah.
And I was only 19, so it's quite a big adventure.
Oh, you have to be 21
yeah.
to drink, of
so
course.
So I had this fake UK driving license.
Yeah.
And yeah, I went over to Miami with my fake license and I got in everywhere.
Miami?
Yep.
That's the club.
Mansion, all those clubs down South Beach. Like, I was killing it. And obviously I had the English accent I'd like.
And they love it.
They loved it. And I had the fake ID and I thought I was the boy.
So when you first started DJing, how old were you? About 14?
14, 13, 14, just because my older brother, you know, he had decks.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mum, I need decks. I just wanted to be cool like him, basically. So.
And did you ever imagine that it would become your career?
No. When I first started, you know, it was my hobby.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I was Joel the DJ at school.
What was your DJ name?
Oh my, I had a few, but
like just Joel the DJ.
No, I had it.
Like Bob the Builder.
So
Joel the DJ.
Well, my first Joel the DJ. No, well, these are probably worse, to be honest.
Okay.
So my brother.
It's not worse than my DJ names. What was your DJ name?
The first one I remember, because my brother was an MC,
okay,
a garage MC,
okay,
and he was Cosa D. Because of Corey, okay. So he was
Cosa. Oh, okay.
I don't know what the D was for.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. So I was Junior C.
Oh.
And he was Cosa D.
That's a good DJ name, Junior C.
Yep. Yeah. So that was quite, actually, not too bad. But then the next one wasn't great.
What was the next one?
DJ Jenga.
Okay, so where did that come from?
Because my brother had this, like, these bars that he used to spit.
Okay.
And he used to be like, all the DJs are falling down, but Jenga's still rising.
Right.
Okay. So I was DJ Jenga.
Right. No, like
didn't last very long, though.
No. And then you just went to your real name.
So yeah, that was a few. Everyone's had a few dodgy DJ names, isn't it?
So you started as a garage DJ.
Yeah, garage was my roots.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, in London when I grew up in the UK, garage was such a big thing at that time.
Yeah.
I was like 13, 14, and it was all about, you know, going to those garage raves with MCs and listening to pirate radio and getting those white label vinyls every weekend from the record shop. I loved it all. I loved the culture of it.
Yeah. It's so different now because we just download something on Beatport or iTunes or whatever. It's like actually going out physically, sifting through records and finding something.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be what I did on the weekend. Yeah. I'd save up my pocket money. I used to get pocket money. Yeah. You know, like actually, do I get lunch money for school?
Are you spending that on records?
And I used to save it. Yeah. Amazing. And I used to like save that up for the weekend, get the bus to the record shop, and it was my day out on a Saturday. Yeah. And I used to just go through all the records, and the guy behind the desk would always be like, "Yeah, I've got this new one. There's only 30 copies of this. Right. You need this tune." You know, it was all that. So, but you built up that collection of music.
Have you still got it now? Your vinyl?
I've got all my vinyl. Yeah, of course, man. Yeah, it's really special to me. But the cool thing about that was that vinyls were like £8. Eight, 10 quid. And you get an A side and a B side. Yeah. So that's two tracks.
It's expensive.
It's expensive. And you only get one a week. So I I just use my pocket money. So you had to be quite selective. That was your tune for that whole week. You'd be rinsing at home, play it a million times. But you'd built up a vinyl collection and that was your set.
Yeah.
So different to now.
So different.
So different. And it's mad to think back to those days, but it meant every record was special.
And do you think your music tastes have changed? Well, how have your music tastes changed? Because you've obviously...
Massively. You know, like I started on garage and drum and bass and grime. Yeah. That was when I was like a teenager. And then I got into EDM. Actually, you know, EDM had a big moment, and that was when I was in my sort of late teen,
it was
early
2010 or something. That big EDM,
I was as I was like producing music, I was producing that Melbourne Bounce, which is kind of a subgenre of EDM, and I loved it. All my sets were sort of EDM, and as I said, my production as well. And I remember going to Ibiza and seeing like Laidback Luke and Afrojack and you know all those sort of.
I DJed Afrojack's wedding, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Random sidebar. got that one in. Yeah, random.
Did it go down well?
it did. Yeah. It was like, do you want to DJ Afrojack's wedding? I was like,
sure. So cool. Did he jump on as well?
He actually did.
I bet he did.
I didn't play EDM though.
No.
Yeah,
but like that sort of like era was a big era for me. And I was playing it a lot. And you know, if you listen to my early mixes on SoundCloud, they were very like EDM heavy.
Are they still up there now?
They're still up there now. You'd have to go back to like 2012, you know, that sort of time. And I
deleted loads of my old mixes.
Did you?
I listened back and I was like, oh, cringe. No, I leave everything there.
Yeah, sometimes they're cringe, but you know what? I always leave them there because even my SoundCloud, right? SoundCloud was really important to me.
Yeah.
Breaking through.
Yeah.
Like those mixes I had on SoundCloud, got me, you know, attention because a lot of them were getting listened to. A lot of people like loved them, and that was a way that I actually helped kind of get my name out there. Mm-hmm. I used to like the mixes I had on SoundCloud. I used to burn them to CDs,
right?
And I used to give them out into the clubs.
CD burning.
I used to give them out on the dance floor after my DJ sets, and it had a bit of artwork, probably a dodgy photo of me topless.
Yeah,
I'm not even joking. Like,
not much has changed. Really. I've seen your videos.
A leopard never changes the spot.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like those SoundCloud mixes and then burning the mixes to CDs, giving them out in the clubs.
Yeah.
That was, you know, that was back then.
Yeah.
And that was my way of getting my name and marketing myself.
Totally, totally.
Yeah.
Always on the hustle.
Yeah,
yeah, always. It's good. And you worked at MTV, didn't you?
Yep.
What did you do there?
So when I finished uni, I knew I wanted to work like in music or in TV.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was applying for like loads of different jobs, and then I saw the internship at MTV come up, and it was just like that was the dream for me back then. I was like, oh my God, imagine I got an internship at MTV.
It's in Camden, isn't it?
In Camden.
Yeah.
And I remember I went for like a 3-week trial when there was two other people on the trial as well.
Yeah.
It's a bit like an X Factor thing, like someone was going to get it.
Okay.
And it was, I got it.
Amazing. You know?
And it was, it was the best job ever. You know, I was like 21 years old, working at MTV in Camden every day, getting the tube up there.
You're like a runner.
I was like a runner. Yeah. I was literally like a runner. Yeah. But, you know, working in that environment and all the artists coming in the building and the celebrities and, you know, doing the MTV news and being part of all of that.
Yeah.
It was such a good experience for me.
Yeah.
And I made a lot of good connections there as well. In the summer, we went out to do MTV in Ibiza, which was at Amnesia, which was like amazing. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm like, my job is to go to Ibiza. And so that was a great, that was, yeah, it was. Yeah. And now it's so cool though as well. Like now my music has broken through. Now to be working for MTV in a different way.
As the artist.
As the artist. Like, we just filmed a show last summer where they followed me around for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's so mad for me. It's like full circle that yeah. I used to work there as basically a runner. And now I've got my own show of MTV.
Amazing.
It felt, yeah, that, yeah. That was nice, yeah.
And were you DJing at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah, so I had my club residencies around London. You know, I was playing at all the Mayfair clubs at this point.
Oh, yeah, like which ones?
Aura, Bond, Studio Val Bond.
Yeah, like all the bottle service.
Yeah, all the bottle clubs. Service stuff. And I was doing like a midweek and then Friday, Saturday. And, you know, there were long sets. It'd be start at 10 p.m., finish at 3.
Yeah.
And I'd have my guest list as well.
Right.
And I'd made more money off my guest list than I did off the set.
Right,
the
yeah,
set
yeah.
would be quite basic pay. But
when
every
you get
girl,
like £5 ahead or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, every
yeah.
girl that I got through the door, I got £10 for.
So amazing.
My BBM, do you remember BBM? BlackBerry, did you
ever? Oh, that? Yeah. Yeah, I had a sidekick.
Okay.
Yeah, but well, yeah, I know
back
that.
Then, right, the BlackBerry, some people will know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, BlackBerry had, Messenger.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
I know
the BBM pin.
Yes.
And I used to run my guest list on my BBM pin. And mate, it was popping off. Like
really?
Every Tuesday, everyone want to get an Aura.
They want to get in.
And I was adding all of the BBM. So yeah, so.
Sat around a table with like a bottle of Grey Goose, which by the way, is always Tesco vodka that they pour into that bottle. I've seen all the tricks behind the scenes.
It was a funny few years, that scene. I don't know if that yeah. scene's still really going, but it was.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah, in London, you've got like Cirque du Soir, all those places.
Yeah,
they're all still. I mean, they make a killing.
I had a good time doing it.
Yeah,
it was a hustle. That was a hustle.
Yeah,
because I used to, you know, you wanted to be, you know, in all those clubs,
totally.
And it was all like who knew, and then yeah. like getting in the next one and the guest list stuff going on.
Yeah.
And
it's this whole little subculture.
It was
of
a subculture.
Nightlife.
It
yeah.
was, and I was part of it.
Yeah,
and I was doing that while I was at MTV. And
right.
do you know what I used to do? Is like when like artists and celebrities come in, I would then try and
put them
know,
on the guest list.
Yeah, literally get them. I'll be like, oh, do you want to go Bond on a Friday?
Yeah.
I'll get you a table. So I was kind of hustling that as well.
Right. Would anyone ever go?
Yeah. Okay. All like the reality. Yeah, you know, when reality TV really started coming on the scene, you know, a lot of them used to get tables for them guys.
We should get little DJing. Bonuses as well for bringing someone famous down.
Yeah,
would you?
Yeah, I would.
This is what I mean. It's like a whole different culture,
a whole
different way of like working a nightclub, isn't it? Like
definitely, yeah. But I was doing that while I was working at MTV, so I was constantly working. It was daytimes. MTV was like every day, like 9 till 6 or yeah. whatever, and then DJing after.
You strike me as someone that doesn't need that much sleep.
No, I'm actually good with no sleep.
Yeah.
I am, and I just think that's been conditioned because of years of DJing and working late nights and work, you know, just literally doing it for years and years that I'm fine. What I normally do is like, there might be one day where I catch up on a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
If I've worked like 3 or 4 nights that week, so then you do one day of catch up and then.
Just like in bed all day with like box sets.
Or just like a big sleep, you know, you just get it in, you do like one big, like 12 hour sleep.
Really?
And then like,
do you not feel weird when you wake up? If I have like a really long sleep, I feel so disorientated.
I know what you mean, but yeah. Sometimes you just need it though, innit? Like if you've done like 3, 4 nights in a row with like 1 or 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
You sometimes just need that big, like mammoth sleep
when
to
you're
catch
like
it all up.
Dying inside.
Yeah.
But you're no longer an intern at MTV. You're now a superstar DJ. What's been your biggest pinch me moment?
Oh God, there's been so many of those over the last few years. Biggest pinch me moment. Okay, so obviously, when I got my first number one single with M&EK, Head and Heart.
Yeah.
That, I mean, even when I think about it now, I'm like, oh my God, that actually happened.
Yeah.
Like you could always dream about having a number one single and it happened for me. So I remember, you know, we were waiting to hear if it was going to go to number one or not.
Were you in a chart battle with someone else?
Jason Derulo.
Right.
And I just remember that day I got the call to say we got it.
Yeah.
And I was just like around my mum and we're running around the kitchen and we had a little party that night and like everyone from the label was there and M&EK came with his family and it was just magical.
Amazing.
A big moment in my life.
How many number ones have you had now?
Only one.
Oh, you've only had the one?
But we could dream for more.
I feel like there's going to be some more than one there, I feel like. What's your favourite place in the world to party, whether that's for work or just like going out? Like, what's your favourite city?
That's easy. Ibiza.
Of course. Of course.
You can't beat it.
Favourite club?
Favourite club currently open? Ooh, DC10.
Amazing.
Yeah, I do love DC10. I love like Jamie Jones's Paradise Night.
Yes.
I know he's moved that now to Amnesia.
Were Tuesdays? Was it Tuesdays?
It was Wednesdays at DC10.
Yeah.
I love that club though.
Yeah.
Um, I'd love Sankey's before it closed.
Yeah.
I like Ushuaia as well.
Amazing.
I played there
outdoors.
Outdoors. I played there last summer with David. And I'm going to be doing a few gigs there this summer as well, which is great. And I've got my residency this summer at Ibiza Rocks.
Yeah, amazing.
Which I'm looking forward to.
Amazing.
It's going to be a big summer in Ibiza. Yeah. So I'd see you there as well.
Yeah, 100%. Are you going to like get a villa or something?
Yeah. We're going to do that because I've got like 14 weeks there.
Oh, amazing.
So it just makes sense because it's more for the fact of because I've got to fly in and out.
Yeah.
It's easy to have a base where like your clothes are there rather than checking in and out of hotels.
Totally.
It just adds that extra few hours of ag, doesn't it? So
would you have after parties in the villa or are you more so? You would. Yeah.
Because
I'm more like, I'm just going to go to bed.
Listen, I'll finish my set and go straight DJing at the after party.
Really?
Yeah. I love it. So
you have decks set up in the
deck
in the villa.
Set up and then, got the afters in Ibiza is always fun.
And what about Las Vegas, because you were just there. I was just saying to you before we started, it's my favorite place in the world because it's like an adult Disneyland. It's like a whole city in the desert that's built from the ground up just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like going crazy. So what do you make of Vegas?
I love it. I've had a great time over there. The first time I played there was at Hakkasan last year. And now I played there last weekend at Marquee. And I've now confirmed got a residency there for this year.
Amazing.
Which is so exciting. Like you said, it's like a Disneyland for adults, isn't it?
And it's also, there's a bit of a club, like a nightlife subculture there as well, like we're saying about the West End clubs, because all the big amazing clubs are sort of in hotel lobbies.
They are.
The entrance to Hakkasan is that's in the MGM
Grand, and where I played at Marquee, that was in Cosmopolitan.
Yeah, and it's literally in the lobby of the hotel. You like go through to a club.
And check this, like last weekend when I was there, I went for dinner with Tiesto.
I did see that on your Instagram. That's kind of major.
He is so cool.
Yeah.
Honestly, the nicest guy. And that was a bit of a pinch me moment as well, because I was sitting there going, I'm literally having steak right now with Tiesto.
Yeah. I feel like a collab could be on the card.
Yeah, definitely. No, we talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
And we've been talking about it on WhatsApp as well. And it's something that will definitely happen, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'd love to do something with him.
That'd be a good match.
Yeah.
What's your favorite part of being a DJ?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Favorite part of being a DJ has got to just be those moments where you're in a club, there's a crowd in front of you, you're stuck into a set.
Yeah.
You're on a journey with the crowd.
Yeah.
There's a vibe in the room. This just feels electric.
Yeah.
And you know you've got so many bangers on the way, and you know where you're taking it, and the energy just keeps building, and you're all on the same level with the crowd.
Yeah,
that feeling right there is just what you do it for.
Do you play much of your music before it comes out, or do you test stuff out?
100%. That's one thing that during like the pandemic I kind of lost that luxury.
Yeah,
but always I like to play my music in the club to test it out before I release it.
Yeah,
so that's a funny story about Head and Heart, actually, is I never actually tested it in the club.
Right.
And it's one of the reasons why I nearly didn't release it.
Right.
Because I was like...
Does it work?
Does it work? Or can I even release this without clubs open? So I actually didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, thank God I did.
Yeah. And I feel like in lockdown, people consume dance music just as much as pre-lockdown.
I hear you. Yeah. It was... I agree with you as well. And I feel like people in lockdown needed like positive vibes and energy and an uplift. And sometimes, like, I'm sure the dance music was providing that.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of messages I got about Head and Heart in particular was like, it made them feel good. They were feeling down today. They put on the radio.
Yeah.
It brightened up their day. I got a lot of messages like that.
Yeah. And people were still dancing around their kitchens. Like everyone always wants to dance, right?
Yeah,
so if the clubs are shut, you just dance around your kitchen.
Everyone's having the old kitchen rave.
Yeah, totally. Totally. What about any downsides of being a DJ or DJ life in general?
I honestly love it so much that I'm not, I can't even think of one to give you. I mean, like the number one people would say would be like the late nights and stuff, but that doesn't bother me.
Really?
It's part of the job, like, and it's part of the lifestyle, and and there's so many good things about it that I would never moan about that sort of stuff. So I haven't got one for you. I love it.
Okay, amazing. So when lockdown was lifted, what was the first club you went to?
I went Warehouse Project.
Oh, man, on the test night?
No, I didn't go to the test
night.
That
looked amazing.
Yeah,
that
looked really cool though. Yeah. But yeah, me and my mates, we went for a rave up. I love Warehouse Project. Yeah. So that
Do you know Rich McGuinness?
Yeah.
Of course.
And that was it. I've always had great nights there anyway. So that was a good one to go back to. And
yeah.
I'm trying to think what the first thing that I played out after. Do you know what? I think it was a student gig.
Oh, really?
I think I had like a university gig after, and it was it was good though, because it was like my first dip back into DJing after a bit of time off.
Did you do any of those sort of socially distanced six people to a table?
I did. Yeah. You know, and
Did what we could.
We did what we could and tried our best. And you know what? I had a few good times doing them.
Yeah.
But I was just eager to get back to them.
When security is telling people to like sit down.
It was weird,
like,
isn't it?
It's so weird.
It was really weird.
But I felt a bit disconnected and disjointed.
Yeah. Even when we talk about it now, it makes me feel weird. So.
Such a strange time, wasn't it? That sort of like coming out of lockdown. Like,
did it even happen?
I guess. Yeah. Like, it feels like such a...
We're through it now, so...
We're through it. We're pretty much through. What's been your favourite festival to DJ at? Let's talk festivals.
My favorite festival to DJ at, right, I've got a great one for you.
Okay.
It was in Vegas.
Okay.
It was my first time playing in Vegas at Life is Beautiful Festival.
Okay.
And it was unbelievable. Obviously, for the reason that it was my first time playing in Vegas, the festival was amazing. Like, I don't know if anyone listening's ever been to Life is Beautiful, but what a amazing festival that was.
Who else was
I
on the lineup?
I played before Gordon
okay,
City.
So it's Halsey.
Yeah, yeah. And then Fisher was on the other stage. So yeah, it was banging.
Bangers,
And yeah, that was definitely a highlight for me. But do you know what? I feel because of the pandemic, maybe I haven't had those big festival moments yet.
Yeah.
But I'm playing Creamfields with you.
On the same stage as me.
Yeah,
it's going to be major. You know, have you done Creamfields before?
No.
So I played the one up north last year. Yeah. It's immense.
Immense.
The screens are massive. Get your visuals ready because those screens.
Yeah,
I saw
your set. Yeah,
I think it's the world's biggest LED screens. I think
amazing.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
I'm buzzing for it. See those sort of things. You know, that's what I'm dreaming of doing. Creamfields and, you know, Tomorrowland, Ultra. Yeah.
It's summer 2022, just completely just like jammed.
It is. It's going to be a big year.
Yeah. So it feels like this is the summer when everyone's back. Last year, we were sort of like half back, dipping our toes in like September, whatever.
Things are getting cancelled.
Totally. Yeah.
Now you're right. Like, we're back.
Summer 22 is the summer, the third summer of love.
Yeah.
We'll say. What do you always have to have with you when you're DJing? What's on your rider?
My rider is so basic.
Is it?
And do you know what? I think this goes back to my years of being a resident club DJ. Yeah. Is that I used to be the person that used to have to go and get the rider.
Oh, and so I've kind to that
yeah,
person.
So yeah, so exactly. I've done the other side of it.
Yeah.
So like, I would never want someone to have to go out to Tesco and buy some mad stuff for me just that's going to get left there eaten.
Just like six pack of Heineken.
Yeah.
You're good.
I'll just get a bottle of vodka and Diet Coke.
Yeah, really?
And that's it. That's me done.
And
I just think like, if there's anything else I ever want, I'll just go and get it myself.
I've got a phone charger on mine, iPhone charger.
You know what? That's quite sensible.
It's sensible, isn't it?
That's quite sensible.
What else have I got on mine? Mine's quite small as well.
Yeah.
Have I got any weird things on? Oh, hand sanitizer.
Good. That's standard now, isn't
it? Yeah.
They'll leave that there anyway if it wasn't on your rider, probably.
Yeah.
But now you see some mad stuff on riders, though. And I just think, like, how could anyone ask for that and expect somebody to go and
spill? Come on. What have you seen? What do you know?
Oh, my God. From over the years, like, you see mad stuff like games consoles.
No
and,
way.
Yeah, like
that gets left in the.
That just never got even got turned on.
That's mad.
But someone imagine someone that like setting up a PlayStation and getting the games that they've got on the rider and then just not even getting turned on.
DJs
but
things are like a nightmare. Aren't
yeah,
they?
I don't know. But I've seen some other mad stuff as well. But yeah, for me, just keep it basic. You're there to DJ. You're not there.
Exactly.
You're not there to, you know, mess about.
Yeah. Exactly. If you had one or two tracks to get the crowd going, what would they be? Say it's a little bit dead out there. You're like,
I'm gonna pick one of my own.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
I'm gonna drop Head and Heart.
Yeah, amazing.
That always works.
Yeah, floor filler.
And all right, so I'm Van Helden. You don't know me. Yeah,
tune.
That's like my favorite ever dance anthem.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Okay.
So that's always one to pull out of the bag.
If you had your own club, what would you call it, and what would it look like?
Oh my God!
Would you ever have a club, by the way? Would you ever want like
no,
you know, no,
no?
It's too much. It's more work than people.
I spend enough time in clubs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For me, if I want to like chill out, I'm like, I don't want to be in a club.
Yeah.
So I don't want to have one.
I always get asked like, oh, why don't you just open a club? Like, do you want like, you know, to have your own venue, your own space? But you just have to deal with the council and like,
yeah. The police. There's a whole business side to
exactly.
it. It's not like glamorous.
Yeah.
Like,
well, in your fantasy, what would your club be called?
Oh my God, that's on the spot. I don't know. The basement of bangers.
I think you should call it Jenga's.
Jenga's, there you go. Yeah. There we go.
What would it look like?
Jenga. What would it look like? Right, so for me, a club needs to just be like low ceiling, yep. Dark.
Sweaty.
Loud. Sound system's the most important thing.
Absolutely.
It's like literally key. So
function one sound system.
Yeah. Really just want it like to be perfect sound in there. And, you know, not too much production. I like it quite, you know, stripped back. A bit like Sankey's.
Yeah. Yeah, good lighting.
Like Sankey's Ibiza was my favourite club.
Okay.
That's what I'd base it on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you balance late night DJing with your fitness routine? Because you obviously also care about your body a lot as well.
Do you know what? Honestly, it's more of a mental thing for me now, the fitness side of things. Like I like to go to the gym every day, but it's almost like a mental benefit rather than physical.
Yeah.
How I balance it is just making it a priority.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I have a very like no excuses mentality. So there's always a way to get a workout done.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you are. There's always a gym nearby. You just have to get up off your ass and go and do it.
Yeah.
But for me though, to be honest, I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I know that some people like find they go to the gym a chore and it's hard work. But I'm very lucky because I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
So that's half the work done.
Yeah.
I just, as I said, make it a priority. If I'm away, find out the nearest gym, get down there. And if I'm at home, just get up nice and early. I'm in there for like 8 a.m. every day.
Really, 8 a.m. What time do you put your alarm on for it on a night when you've not been DJing the night before?
I'm an early riser.
Yeah.
Like if I haven't been DJing and I go to bed at like a sensible time, I'll be up at like 6, 7, 100%.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm raring to go and I'd get the workout done before my phone starts going off at like 9.
Because your manager starts calling
you. Yeah, it's like management.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to George.
Yeah. Big up, George.
Big up, George. He'll start hitting me up like by 9 o'clock. So I need to get that done home in front of my laptop, ready to go.
Got it. So let's talk music. So who are your musical influences? Like who are your all-time favorite DJs?
So taking it back to the garage days, DJ EZ was my idol.
Yeah.
I used to like wait for his Kiss FM show on a Friday night and tape record it.
Right.
And then I would listen back to that tape on the bus every day. And I'd like go home and like even practice the mixes that he's done on the radio show.
Yeah.
Because back then as well, like it wasn't like you could just go onto your iPhone and play back a radio show.
Yeah.
It wasn't technology.
Absolutely.
You know, I sound really old here, but I used to have the tape record the set off the radio. So EZ, I mean, he stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Technically, probably the best DJ of our generation.
Yeah.
EZ was definitely a big influence for me. And then I guess as far as going down the artist route, you know, people like David Guetta and Tiesto, Calvin Harris, of course, you know, these guys had the commercial chart success, which I always wanted. I always wanted to have hit records.
Yeah.
But they've also, you know, stay on tour, DJ at the biggest festivals.
Yeah.
And they tick all the boxes.
I think the interesting thing about, I think all of those artists as well, is they've also got aliases where they can still release underground music, like Jack Black, for example, or David Guetta.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you know, that's something as well. I mean, for me, I've just actually released like 3 club records this week because I think it's important to get across the DJ side as well.
Mm-hmm.
because you've seen me DJ before, you know the stuff that I play, and it was really important for me to kind of get that across in my releases. So this week I'm actually buzzing to release some more underground stuff.
On Defected, right? On Deep
Dance. So we've got Liquor Store that came out on Deep for Dance. And we've got The Parade, which is my version of The Hall's classic Meet Her at Love Parade.
Yeah.
And I've released that now officially with The Hall on Selected.
Amazing.
And also I've got a track coming out on Signal Supply called What I Need, which samples Robinus.
Amazing. Show Me Love. All different labels.
So all different labels all this week.
Wicked.
So
that's
just
so
three
cool.
bangers in a row.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And I'm just glad I got these out because all these tracks are tracks that I've played in my sets for years.
Yeah.
And I'm just so glad that I've now been able to release them because everyone that's come to see me DJ is always like, what's that track ID?
And now it's not coming off on Shazam.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like,
release the bangers.
There you go.
Yeah. And do you give them little like production updates every year?
I give them a little refresh and a proper mix and master for the release because before they were just like DJ masters. So now they're like, we got them properly mixed and mastered. Yeah. I'm so happy with the final results and really finessed them.
Yeah.
But I'm just so glad that I had the opportunity to finally, you know, have this window to get these out in between the sort of more commercial pop records.
Totally. Yeah. That's amazing. What would your dream collaboration be? If you could like work with one person, who would that be?
I say the same person every time. I'm going to keep saying it until it happens. Ed Sheeran.
Oh, I feel like that can happen.
We're
manifesting that.
Okay. Well, I met him actually at the MTV EMAs.
Yeah.
And went to his like after party with him. Yeah. And then I hanged out with him as well after Hits Live. Was it like an arena show?
Okay.
And we had an actual like beer together and had a proper good chat.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy. And hopefully be able to get in the studio this year at some point.
Yeah.
I think it'd be sick.
Yeah. What's next for you? You've got an Ibiza residency coming up, you said.
Yeah, so this year is the touring has definitely stepped up to another level.
Yeah.
Lots of American touring, first of all.
Yeah.
Like I'm going back there next week. We've got
Do you find the crowds are different in America to the UK?
Yeah.
Or Europe? Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're so up for it.
Yeah.
I've never had a bad gig yet in America.
Really?
And they've got another side to them as well, where it's like they're really there for your set.
Yeah.
And they care about your set so much where they will stand in the front row until you go on. And then when you finish, they'll leave. So they're so focused for your set.
Yeah.
Which is a bit different to sort of the European culture. It's almost more like a fan-focused thing over there, which is cool.
Whereas in the Europe, are they sort of here to party?
Yeah, they're here to party. Yeah, in America, they're here to see you and your show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is cool as a DJ because they're like so up for it when you go on and so excited.
Yeah.
And also like it's the first time I've ever seen someone in the crowd like wearing my merchandise.
Right, your hoodies.
Yeah. And I was like, because I was just thinking no one in England would rock that to a club, you know? Because
I want a hoodie though that says like DJ Jenga.
DJ Jenga. I'll get that done for
you. Yeah. Add it to your merch.
Wear it at Creamfields.
Like, yeah.
Maybe a DJ Jenga special set.
Yes, 100%. Bring it back.
But aside from that, I've got Ibiza all summer, which is going to be great. I've got my residency at Ibiza Rocks. So lots of touring back and forth between America and around Europe and obviously new music as well coming.
Yeah. How do you find live streaming? Because I think you still live stream a bit here and there, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, so when lockdown first hit, I had to adjust to the live streaming thing.
Oh yeah, we all did.
Yeah, we all did, right? The technical issues, DJing to nobody,
to your phone in your living room.
To the phone in the living room, the Instagram lives and the connection going and Oh, many stressful moments.
Yeah.
But actually the live streaming became a very good thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a great team around me that were able to set up some amazing live streams at nightclubs. For example, like Egg and
Ministry, you did, I think.
Yeah, Ministry. We did like a live stream on the Thames and like cool different locations. So that was actually really fun to kind of plan and get involved with.
Yeah.
And also, it made me really step up my gear in digging for records to play on my live streams. Because I was doing one a month and I was doing 2 hour sets minimum.
Right.
And I never wanted to play the same record twice. So that's like a 2 hour set. Yeah, like refreshing that every month. You know, with underground music is, you know, it takes time to dig on Beatport and go through records. So it made me do that. And now it made me a better DJ.
Yeah.
That year of doing live stream made me a better DJ.
That's amazing.
It made me better at searching for songs, and actually really fell in love with even more so of like finding those gems, you know, that worked in a set.
Yeah,
so looking back on it, it was good for me.
Oh, amazing. Finally, you're throwing your dream party. Who are you inviting, living or dead?
All right, okay. The Rock.
Right.
He's like my idol.
Okay.
So imagine The Rock at the party.
Doing a workout together.
I think he'd be Gordon Ramsay.
Oh, really? So he can cook?
Yeah. He can do, yeah, he can
He's
make
the catering.
He can make the, get the nibbles ready.
Yeah, perfect. What's your favourite nibble?
Who else is going to be there? Right. We've got to have a DJ.
Yeah.
Carl Cox.
Right.
Carl Cox got to be DJing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't think of the last one.
You need a fourth and final guess. It's only five of you at a room. It's a very intimate gathering.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Still a proper rave up.
Yeah. Have you got any suggestions? Who'd mix
I'm
well?
Free. I am
yeah,
free
right,
that
there
night.
You go.
I just checked my cow.
There you go. You're my final person at
okay,
the party.
I'll be there. Okay, perfect. I'm bringing the fun.
It's a good little mix. The Rock.
Yeah, that's a squad.
The Rock, Gordon Ramsay, Carl Cox DJ.
That is a night out.
Dirty Harsh
in there. Yeah, that's a night out. Joel, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
Yeah, this has been your life of the party.
Oi, oi.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.